Easter Sunday and a happy Easter to you all. It's great to see you here. Welcome if you're visiting, welcome if you're new, and welcome to everybody watching online. A couple of notices just to give out, please. First of all, to say our dear brother Frank is 106 years old, which is pretty good going. And there's a card at the back if you'd like to sign it for him. We'll deliver it. Also to say that our annual report is now out and they're on the table at the back. Please do help yourself. It's for free. We're going to begin our service with lighting the Easter candle, and Sophie has kindly agreed to bring it from the back in a procession to the front and then to light it for us. So may I ask you to stand and turn to the back, and as Sophie walks with our Easter candle, follow her with your eye. Brilliant, well done, and you're going to light it for us as well. Perfect, thank you, Sophie. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed, alleluia.
And again, alleluia, Christ is risen. Praise the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He has given us new life and hope. He has raised Jesus from the dead. God has claimed us as his own. He has brought us out of darkness. He has made us light to the world. Alleluia! Christ is risen!
He is
So let us sing his praise. Jesus Christ is risen today. Let's say this Easter collect together. God of glory, by the raising of your Son, you have broken the chains of death and hell. Fill your church with faith and hope, for a new day has dawned, and the way to life stands open in our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's be seated for a moment of confession. Jesus Christ, risen Master and triumphant Lord, we come to you in sorrow for our sins and confess to you our weakness and unbelief. We've lived by our own strength and not by the power of your resurrection. In your mercy, forgive us. Lord, hear us and help us. We have lived by the light of our own eyes, as faithless and not believing. In your mercy, forgive us. Lord, hear us and help us. We have lived for this world alone and doubted our home in heaven. In your mercy, forgive us. Lord, hear us and help us. May the God of love and power forgive you and free you from your sins, heal and strengthen you by his Spirit, and raise you to new life in Christ our Lord. Amen. I think it was for the first time last year we introduced the idea of taking a Christmas tree, stripping off all the branches, and making it into a cross, linking the birth and the death of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then on Easter Sunday, what many folk do is they take some flowers, in this case some lilies, and they decorate the cross like this. I've seen these crosses decorated like this, huge crosses, completely covered in daffodils. It's an amazing witness to the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we're going to stand to sing of his resurrection on that wonderful morning. See what a morning, gloriously bright. Let's stand to worship God.
As the angels announce, Christ is risen.
please be seated for our reading of the resurrection story. Sarah is going to come and bring God's word from Mark.
The reading is taken from Mark chapter 16, verses 1 to 7. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on, in the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, "Who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go, tell the disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Last Sunday, Palm Sunday, we gave everybody a stone, and kindly, people gave them back at the end because I said we wouldn't need to use them today. So we're going to give out a stone to everybody, and I need some help for that. I wonder, Paul, could you take some of these around? Just pick out one stone to hold as we go around. Les, there's some there. Thank you. Thank you very much. There's another couple of bowls here. Perhaps we could give some more out, pass them around. I pass some to you, Derek. Thank you. And we were saying last week that stones have a symbolic significance in the Bible. So I'd like you to hold it while I speak to you. Thank you very much. After the service last Sunday, because I had mentioned that these stones come from a mountain stream in Scotland, after the service I got told off by several people, actually, for stealing stones from mountain streams. But I bought them from B&Q, and that's what it said on the bag. It said, "From a mountain stream in Scotland." Well, there you go. We use these stones as a symbol of the determination of Jesus to go to Jerusalem to die for us. And we looked at an Old Testament prophecy that says, "He set his face like flint. He would not be diverted from that mission to sacrifice himself." Well, today, the stones stand for something else, which I'm sure you can guess. That stone that stood in front of the tomb of the Lord Jesus Christ, which worried those women who went to anoint his body. And Mark says they kept on saying to one another, "Who will move it?" I'm sure you've been up the Malvern Hills and seen this cave. If you've done the Great Easter Treasure Hunt, Great Malvern Easter Treasure, you'll have visited this. I think they call it the Giant's Cave, don't they? I've always wondered when I've passed that, how big was that stone in front of the tomb? One translation says it was a huge stone. Well, Mark in his gospel actually uses a very interesting little word that has come through to us today, even though it's couple of thousand years old. He uses the word megas for the size of that stone. It was mega. In fact, he says it was exceedingly mega. At least that's what the women said. Maybe it was a case of the fisherman who said he'd caught one that big, when he means this big. Were they exaggerating? Well, I don't think they were, actually. The evidence shows that those stones were very big. And what's more, they were on an incline. Easy enough to push down to close, very difficult to push back up again. It was a problem for those who visited. What are we going to do to move the stone? It was obviously a problem to them, but it wasn't a problem to God. Because Matthew says, an angel came down, he just rolled it back, and then he sat on it. Which is a very humorous little touch, really, as if to say, no problem. A bit like the time I had to move this heavy armchair, take it down to the dump. I could barely push the thing, let alone lift it. Along comes my son-in-law. They can be useful at times. He's a black belt in karate. He picked it up, put it on his shoulder, and put it on top of the roof rack of my car. I said, wow. He said, no problem. Looking down at me as he was. That stone was a problem to the women and no problem to God. You know, sometimes in the Christian life, we face problems that appear to us impossible to solve. We hit a stone wall, you might say. What are we going to do? Well, some of those problems are no problem to the Lord. He may not always resolve them in ways we expect, but he will do something. Jesus once said, what is impossible with humans is possible with God. And it reminds me of a friend of ours who lives in South London. His name's Rob. He's a vicar of three churches in South London. Huge parish. And he relies very heavily on his car to get around because he's always giving people lifts, always having people to stay at the house. One day his car wouldn't start. So he called the AA and they said it's got to go to the garage. It was an old banger anyway, but took it to the garage and then they phone up a few hours later and say, it's going to cost you £2,000 to put that back on the road. And Rob was, he told me this, in despair. He went and sat down with his wife in the kitchen. He said, what are we going to do? I can't get £2,000. I can't borrow it because we'll never pay it back. And they began to talk to the Lord about it together. And then Rob gets up to make a cup of tea. He opens the kitchen drawer, and there on the knives and forks is a white envelope. And he picked it up and he said to his wife, what's this? She said, I don't know. He opened it. You won't believe it. There was £2,000 exactly in that envelope. It's amazing. I barely believed it when he told me, but I know Rob wouldn't lie. To this very day, they haven't got a clue who put it there. All things are possible with God. The stone in front of the tomb was no problem for the Lord, despite it being a problem for those disciples. But there was a problem, a much, much bigger problem than moving that stone. And it was simply this. They thought Jesus was dead. Simple as that. They didn't go to the tomb to meet a risen Lord. They went to anoint a dead body. And that was a much bigger problem than the problem of moving the stone. In spite of the fact the Lord had said to them, two or three, perhaps four or five times, I'm going to die, I'm going to rise again on the third day. They thought it was impossible, so they didn't believe him. And this was a much more mega problem than moving that stone. It was a problem Jesus had with a lot of his people. Do you remember those two on the road to Emmaus? how upset they were. Jesus met them. They didn't recognize him. He could see how downcast they were. They'd lost their leader. Now there was talk of the body being stolen. What did he say to them? He said this. Let's go back to that slide before. He said, "How foolish you are. How slow to believe. I'm not sure I would ever talk to anybody like that who'd had the shock that they'd had. How foolish you are." But this was the problem. It was slowness to believe. And then there was Thomas, wasn't there? Doubting Thomas. And Jesus had to say to him, "Stop doubting and believe." What was that program? I used to watch, it's not on now. I forget what it's called. It had a guy called Victor Meldrew who used to say, "I don't believe it." Oh, it was One Foot in the Grave, wasn't it? Thomas said, "I won't believe it. Not until you prove it to me." This is the problem that the Lord has, and it's a much bigger problem than many of the problems that we face in life. In the Old Testament, the prophet Ezekiel said to God's people, "Your hearts are stony. You don't believe." In the New Testament, in the book of Hebrews chapter 3, it says, "Don't harden your hearts." He's talking to Christians here. He goes on to say, "Brothers and sisters, make sure that none of you have an unbelieving heart." Well, the world is unbelieving, but you may say to yourself, "That's not me." J.B. Phillips, who translated the New Testament into modern English, wrote this little book, "Your God is Too Small." It's a very evocative title, isn't it? The point he makes in this book is that the world worships the gods of science and commerce, believing they can solve all our problems, so you don't need Jesus Christ, because we can solve them. We can sort climate change. We don't need God, people say. But science and commerce, of course, the resurrection proves, science and commerce cannot cure or deal with man's biggest problem, which is death. However good the NHS is, and it's wonderful, can't cure you of death. However life-changing money may be, or so the National Lottery says, can't buy you eternal life. Only Christ can do that for free. The real problem is slowness to believe. See to it that none of you has an unbelieving heart. And that's addressed to us. Well, you may say, "That's a bit rude, really. I don't have an unbelieving hard heart. I long to be filled with God's Spirit." I've no doubt that's true, but it is also true that in the hearts of even the most devout people, there's usually some kind of hardness that stops us from being fully filled with the life of God. And the longer you go on in the Christian life, I can tell you, the more you begin to realize these faults, these stones are hidden under the surface. I like this illustration, you've seen it before, of a bowl of water with great pebbles in the bottom. I hope you can see this. Looks full, but when you start to take these out, then you realize there's quite a bit of space left. So, in fact, you can do that. And so I say to the Lord, I say, "Lord, is there some hardness of heart in me, some resentment? Is there some jealousy or covetousness, some bitterness, some fear, some doubt still inside me? Please take these things out of me, because I want to be filled with more of your life." Somebody who prayed that prayer very passionately was the poet John Donne, and He was a devout man. But later in life, he says this: "Batter my heart, three-personed God, for you as yet but knock, breathe, shine, and seek to mend, that I may rise and stand, or throw me, and bend your force to break, blow, burn, and make me new. Get rid of those stones in my heart, Lord, that I may live for you." And if we do that, then there's another use for these stones that we take out. I'll finish with this. Tell you about Eric. Eric was a quiet man. He always sat right at the back of the church, and he never really spoke to anybody. But he always carried a stone in his pocket. And when he came up for communion, you could see this stone. It had one word written on it, the word Ebenezer. And if people asked him, what's that all about? What does that mean? He said, "Well, this is my Ebenezer, because it shows me that God helped me. He's delivered me from a problem I had that's ruined my life, ruined my marriage, ruined my relationship with my children. But Jesus Christ has delivered me from it." Well, you probably know that story in 1 Samuel, how the people of God were being defeated all the time by the Philistines because they had unbelieving hearts. But when they turned back to the Lord, the Philistines were routed. And Samuel takes this great stone and he names it Ebenezer. "Thus far the Lord has helped us." Because Eben in Hebrew means stone. Ezer, of help. I want to invite you this morning to take that stone. And there are pens here if you want to write something on it. It's up to you. But just to place it here in the Easter garden as a sign of your desire as you come forward for communion, or you would just want a blessing come up, put your stone there or take it home with you to remind you that the Lord may be wanting to remove something from your life to fill you more with his life. So I invite you to do that. And we're going to stand in a moment. We're going to sing a song that mentions Jesus as the stone. And we're also going to give you out something else. Not Easter eggs, but one of these. Because we're going to use these in prayer. They're little cuttings from a branch. I'm going to give you one. June's going to lead us in a time of prayer using this disc. So we'll give those out as we sing. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Let's stand to sing together.
Jesus, Lord.
Please be seated as we turn to our time of prayer. June's going to lead us. You'll need your wooden disc for your time of prayer.
I invite you to take your disc and hold it in your hand. You can keep your eyes open if you like, if you want to focus on the wooden disc. This represents both the cross of Jesus and the stone that was rolled away from the tomb. So we'll pray. Risen Lord, we come before your throne. You broke the powers of sin when you rose again, defeating death on the cross. The stone rolled back from the empty tomb, giving us life eternal. Only you, Lord, have complete power over all the world. You are a merciful and mighty, loving God. You are patient with us when we are slow to believe. When we're slow to believe your word, when our hearts are hardened, melt our hearts, Lord. Let us be silent for a moment as we ask ourselves, is there anything that is in the way, that is blocking our relationship with Christ? Are we weary? Are we heavy laden? Are we angry? I've been angry this morning. Are we resentful or bitter? Are we fearful or lost? Let us come before the Lord now in our own silent prayer, just bringing toward to him what we need to bring. And if you've got nothing, I know the Lord will just name it for you. So let's spend a moment or two in silence. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. I invite you now to look at the rings on your disc, marking the years of growth from a sapling to a branch. How beautiful it looks. So we pray for all our children, and we pray for those children who came from the local schools to the Easter experience recently. May your word take root and grow in their hearts and bear fruit. Can you just take a moment's silence, just reflecting on that, or naming children that you know that you would love them to come and know the Lord. Lord Jesus, we pray for the young people in the youth group at St Andrew's, that they may grow as your disciples, sharing their faith with their peers. You are the vine, we are the branches. Help us to abide in you, so that we too may bear fruit. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Feel the roughness of the bark on your wooden disc, part of the tree. Many of our brothers and sisters are being persecuted for their faith across the world, imprisoned, tortured, and killed. Lord, be their light in times of darkness. Be their strength in times of pain. May your rod and staff comfort them. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Let this wooden disc remind you also of the tree of life that stands in the new creation for the healing of all the nations. So, Lord, heal our land and make all things new. Just draw those countries that are war-torn before the Lord. Our earth being destroyed, trees being cut down. We say together, merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
We're going to stand together now to share the peace. Please stand. The risen Christ came and stood among his disciples and said, "Peace be with you." And they were glad when they saw the Lord. Alleluia. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Let us greet one another with a sign of peace. Peace to you. Peace be with you. You're welcome to come up to communion. Paul is going to preside for us. Don't forget to bring up your stone to lay in the Easter garden if you wish to do so. If you want to mark it in any way, perhaps with your initials or some other word, please feel free to do that as we sing together in Christ alone.
Thank you. stone here and remembering Eric, that dear man, and those words, Ebenezer, the Lord my helper. We put our stones there, representing whatever, as Jeff has said, whatever they represent for us. But the Lord saying, I give you a heart of flesh, a heart of flesh. And this bread and wine that we take is the heart of the flesh of Jesus. For my hardened heart to somehow dissipate as I take the body and blood of Jesus deep into my body, my soul, my heart. So do come to receive communion. If for any reason you prefer just to receive a blessing, I say just to receive a blessing, to be blessed, do come and we will bless you. And if you like gluten-free bread, we have that, and alcohol-free wine, we have that. So just have a word with me and Jeff, and we have it for you. We remember the fires lit across the world to praise and welcome Christ our light, risen and alive, as the dawn lights up each continent. And I shall be wearing a stole made by the people of Peru, a gift to us in the church, that stole, and to remind us we're linked with Peru, but with many other countries, and countries that June has been praying for, and countries in our hearts this day. Christ, our light. Christ, their light. So I think it would be good if you feel able to let us stand together. These are wonderful words. So if I say the ones in the yellow and you respond in the white. The Lord is here. Lift up your heart. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to praise you, Father, Lord of all creation. In your love, you made us for yourself. When we turned away, you did not reject us. You came to meet us in your Son. In Christ, you shared our life that we might live in him. And he in us. Them, saying, take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.
Father, we do this in remembrance of him.
His blood is shed for all.
And as we proclaim his death and celebrate his rising in glory, send your Holy Spirit that this bread and this wine may be to us the body and the blood of your dear Son. And as we proclaim his death and celebrate his rising in glory, send your Holy Spirit. Send it now, Lord, this your precious body, this your precious blood. Praise your holy name.
As we eat and drink these holy gifts, make us one in Christ our risen Lord.
With your whole church throughout the world, we offer you this sacrifice of praise and lift our voice to join the eternal song of heaven.
Holy, 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 holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna.
Or some may like to kneel. This is the most amazing prayer Jesus given to us, beginning our Father.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom and the power and the glory of God is yours, now and forever. Amen.
We are broken people. We're all broken. We come with empty hands. But we're broken in order to be made whole. Restored to newness of life. So we break this bread to share in the body of Christ.
Though we are many, we are one body, because we will share in the bread.
So draw near with faith, those who have much faith, those who have little, those who feel they might have none. Wherever we are, whoever we are, Christ accepts us. Come to receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, his blood, which he shed for you. Eat and drink in remembrance that he died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving. Almighty God, we thank you for feeding us with the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him we offer you our souls and bodies to be a living sacrifice. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. Amen.
So we come to our final hymn. And rejoice, thine be the glory. Let's stand to raise the roof if we can.
Angels in bright rainbow.
Father, please accept these gifts as a token of our deep gratitude to you in Jesus Christ. Amen. Please sit or kneel for the blessing. Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, make you perfect in every good work to do his will. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit rest upon you and remain with you always. Amen. Let us go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen.